Love you, Uncle Bill.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not the one.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station for this Monday, March 29th, 2021. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight we are on Lesson 5 of our ministerial training entitled Leadership, the Jesus Way. But as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you go bow with me? Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come to your throne of grace asking you to completely empty me of self, step into this body of clay, Father God, so that I can teach your new ministers, Lord, your new called and sent, how to be servants of honor, Lord, that will give you glory. And Lord God, I just pray right now for every listener, every minister, every deacon, every pastor, every prophet, hallelujah, every teacher that is listening, Lord God. May they receive this teaching with the love that it is being given, Lord God. And may you get all the glory, Lord, as your men and women of God go out, hallelujah, to do the work of your kingdom. It is in Jesus' name I pray all things. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, and I give you all the glory. Now, over the past 4 weeks, we've been looking at the calling, acceptance, gifting, and the standards of God's called and sent. So once we know that we've been called, we've accepted our call, we've been called by God, we have accepted our calling, now we are beginning to focus on how to become and remain vessels of honor for the Lord that he will honor when we meet him face to face. So tonight, we are going to be talking about the heart of a servant. Because if we are going to be true servant leaders for the Most High God that are willing to lead by example, our hearts must be turned first toward God. If we are going to be servants that are committed to seeking his will, our hearts have to be turned toward him. If we are going to obey his commands, our hearts must be turned toward him. And not only should our hearts be turned toward him, our hearts should be turned toward his people. True servants are willing to sacrifice and to get out of their comfort zone. We are committed to building God's kingdom. And we're also committed to serving without receiving any glory, any pats on the back, or anything of that sort here on earth. And we're also just committed to loving the Lord and loving others as he loves us with the heart of a servant. The word of God in Jeremiah 3:15 records these words, and I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You see, God has given us servant leaders, given us pastors, a heart to love God's people. Now, what an awesome responsibility it is, saints of God. You see, our hearts have to be open, not just for compassion, but for empathy. We have to have a heart that cares for people during trials and troubles in their lives. We have to want to be with people as they walk through their journey of losing a loved one or to be with a family when they're struggling financially. We have to be gifted with a heart that is open to those who are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, again, I want to say to you, we must not only have a heart, our hearts must not only be turned toward God, but they must be turned toward his people. Now, I want you ministers to understand that far greater than preaching, now don't get me wrong, preaching is certainly important, but it's not our preaching that's going to bless God's people. It is the love that permeates in the life of God's called and sent. You see, I have said people will never believe what you say until they can see what you. I have also said that many times people will forget a sermon. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how good they preach, they will forget a pastor. But they will never forget that servant, that pastor, that teacher, that deacon. Hallelujah, that prophet that sat with them during difficult times in their lives. You see, when we have the heart of a true servant, we understand that we are created for community. Because our longing for connection is rooted in God's creation. In the Genesis 1 account of creation, every day closed with the refrain, and God saw it was good. At the conclusion of the sixth day, God saw it was very good. The first not good designated of an aspect of creation came in Genesis chapter 2, 18, where the Lord himself said, it is not good for man to be alone. God proceeded to create woman and he established the human family. But the implications of not being alone go beyond family to the broader network of human connection. And see, when we have the heart of a servant of the Most High God, we don't try to take somebody else, our will, and impose it on somebody else's, but we affirm each person's value. You know, as I reflect on the resurrection of Christ, I realize that in addition to being a validation of his identity as God's son, it's a validation of human worth. Hallelujah. See, the only validation that you will ever need, Jesus did it on that cross. So you won't have to be looking to be the top dog. You're not looking to have force your beliefs, your issues, your way of thinking. You see, because Jesus died for all men, and they all have value. I don't care if they're a bum on the street, or, you know, they sit in the annals of Congress. You know, it is really, in one of his most influential essays, The Weight of Glory, Dr. C.S. Lewis pondered the implication of eternal destiny of human beings. He pulled back the taking people for granted curtain to consider both the eternal glory that will be manifest in those who receive salvation, or the eternal horror of those who reject salvation. It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses to remember the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror or a corruption such as you have never seen. Then Dr. Lewis considered our role in encouraging everyone with whom we interact to move toward a redemptive vision. You know, he wanted everybody to move toward Jesus. He wanted us to get along and help each other to reach their destinations. Hallelujah. See, and that's another thing that a good servant leader, a true servant leader with a true heart after God's own, you know, God gave us free will choice. So we must respect everybody's journey. Everybody is not where you are. Everybody is not where I'm at. But we must respect their journey. We are not to go in with a condemning spirit. We are not to go in with I was raised in church. Well, so what? That's your journey. See, the Word of God says caring for one another is not optional. And we are stewards of God's grace in and through our relationship with community. And as I have said, When we, our heart is turned towards God, we're going to be out there doing what he needs us to do, even if it's not comfortable. So, you know, whether we are quick to move on from social distancing or slower to make the change, we respect the value of each other in Christ. The Word of God says in Romans 15:7, therefore welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, the early church expressed their love and support through physical touch. I thought of the exhortation in the New Testament to greet one another with a holy kiss. When I did a search, I was surprised to learn that it occurred not just once, but in four of Paul's letters and one of Peter's letters. And it can be found in Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13 and 12, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 26, and 1 Peter 5 and 14. So you see, if we're going to be leaders like Christ, if we're going to be true servant leaders with the heart set of Christ, then we're going to be showing love at all times. This should be a common practice in the life of a true servant leader. Now, you have to understand something. I know we've all had times that people, you know, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to engage. They might not want you to give them a hug or, you know, but instead of being offended, instead of getting angry, just remember, love has to respect that. You know, we have to learn how to be spiritually and emotionally connected even as we sort out how to be physically present. Sometimes we can be physically present and don't say a thing. Just the fact that we're there, holding their hand, showing them love. And then to have a heart of a servant like Jesus. You ever notice Jesus never beat anybody over the head with what his father has said? See, when we're true servant leaders, we don't have to puff out our chest and tell people, you know, this and tell people that you oughta, you should. No. True servant leadership includes gentle leading. The same term used in Genesis 33 and 14 for Jacob's slower pace for his flocks and in Psalm 23 and 2 for being led by quiet waters is the Hebrew word NHL, which means gentle leading. In Isaiah 40:11, it's used as Yahweh gently leads the nursing ewes of the flock. And in Exodus 15:13, in your strength you will guide them. Kind of like the king who shows up in Zechariah 9:9 as gentle riding on a donkey. As God leads his people gently, we should also do the same thing. We have to remember, Jesus didn't come down here walking around to him, well, I'm God, I am the Son of God, and you will listen to what I say. Nope. When you are a true servant of the Most High God, and you have a heart after God's own, you're going to walk in humility. Because you have to understand that even the king, especially the king of kings, was dependent on God for his guidance. Israel was dependent on God for its guidance and its identity. So we don't go around, you know, puffing our chest that I'm pastor, bishop, so-and-so-and-so-and, no. When we have a heart after God's own, we're going to go humbly amongst God's people. We're going to go with a spirit of love and compassion and grace and mercy, humble identity. And you know what? A true servant leader, of the Most High God is always given leadership and given authority, and they're not afraid to delegate and give authorities. Because we have to remember that we as leaders of God, we have been given authority, but we can't claim to ever be more than a servant of God. Just because we have been called and sent saints of God does not mean we become as God, okay? We are just his instruments. As a matter of fact, I call myself God's delivery girl. I'm in the kingdom family business. I am one of God's delivery girls, which means I am a child that's saved by grace just as you are. I've just been told by daddy to tell the rest of the children what he said. That's it. I'm no more than a servant. You know. And we can find that we get our authority from God in places like Psalm or Ezekiel 34, where the sheep are continually called mine by God. God said, they're my sheep. Another example is Jesus' emphasis on my sheep, which prohibits Peter from treating them as his own. Let me tell you something. I don't care how big your church is, how big your ministry becomes. I don't care. Don't you ever get it twisted in your heart that you are any more than a servant. And don't you ever get it twisted in your heart that any servant leaders that God sends along, that he puts in your charge, they don't belong to you either. We have way too many pastors that think because a minister, an evangelist, someone comes up to them and tells them if they want to be called, and then if they ordain them, you know, they act like this minister, this evangelist, this called and sent being of the Most High God can't do anything but sit in that pulpit and watch the back of their head. God's servants belong to God. They don't belong to you. Those choirs are not your choirs. And those ministers are not your ministers. They belong to Jesus. He called them. He's equipping them. And as a matter of fact, he don't even need you to ordain them. All you are doing when you ordain a servant leader is saying amen. And all you're saying is amen to God. That's all you're doing. You don't have any rights. And let me tell you something else. If you are serving after God's own heart, if you have a heart after the Father's, you're not leaving the flock. You're not leaving the ministry. You're not going to. Quitting is not an option, as Evangelist Michelle Scott said. Quitting is not an option. We don't start things for the kingdom. And then just because people don't give us enough amens, or enough people don't pat us on the back, we decide, well, I'm just not going to do that. A shepherd can't run off and lead a sheep. You do that, guess what? The sheep going to get ate up by the wolves. So you must learn how to stand. I don't care if you have to, while your heart is breaking and you learn, God teaches you how to get a thick skin, you better learn how to stand. And you don't abandon the flock. And then because you know why you don't do that? Because true servant leaders of the Most High God that has a heart after God's own, they are self-sacrificing. Did you notice that Jesus sent his disciples out with the authority to teach, heal, and exorcise demons? We see this in Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Twice they were given the job of serving miraculously, multiplying bread to the crowds. But now, just as they were becoming aware of their powerful place in the new kingdom, Jesus will insist the essence of their role as leaders is to follow. to follow the Lamb of God to his death. Don't you understand that self-sacrifice and service is the hallmark? I'm talking about the hallmark of the Lord's under-shepherds. Don't you know that the greatest act of shepherding that King Jesus did was becoming the sacrificial lamb of God? Hallelujah. So therefore, beloved, you better know and understand, if you are called and sent, you better be ready to lay down your life for the sheep. And if you're not ready to do that, maybe you're not called and sent. Hallelujah. Maybe you don't have the heart for it. My Lord and my God. Now let me tell you something. One of the things that will show that you truly have a heart after God's own is that you will have a merciful and healing leadership. One of the consistent themes of our Lord's teaching is that mercy is not only prioritized over legalism, it is the heart of the law itself. Mercy and compassion are central features of the called and sent of the servant leader. See, we are supposed to aid in setting people free from their burdens, but we have to do it with compassion. We have to do it with grace and mercy. See, it's not always what you say, but you have to remember sometimes it's how you say it. We have to be merciful. We have to be all-inclusive. You know, we can't just teach and preach to the people we like. We can't just preach and teach to the people that look like us, sound like us, walk like us, talk like us. See, we have to understand that God so loved the world that he gave his son. He loved the world. So that means that if you are a servant leader, you don't care if they come from Argentina. You don't care if they come from the Ukraine. You don't care if they come from Germany. You don't care. All you gonna care about is, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? How can I assist you in getting to know him better? How do I assist you in having a better relationship with him? And then I want you to know, if we're going to be servants after God's own heart, if we're truly going to have his heart, sometimes we just have to understand we're going to have to suffer. We have to go through stuff. But we should rejoice anyway, because we have to remember that as Christ suffered, we have to suffer. You know, if we want to be, if we want to be resurrected with him, we have to live for him. And sometimes that's painful. Sometimes people hurt your feelings. Sometimes people do the darndest things and you don't have a clue why they do it. But you know what? You got to remember one thing. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. That is why our heart must be turned toward God, so that we can hear from him. And that when we deal with people, his people, we are actively listening. We hear the words that they say, and we see and hear the words that they don't say. Why? Because we're praying. We're not in such a hurry to be running our mouths and talking that we don't have time to just sit there and hold their hand or ask them some questions that have absolutely nothing to do with the situation at hand. Just building a relationship with that new brother, that new sister, building a relationship with that new couple that's wanting to get married, building that relationship, and you do it humbly and you do it willingly. And you're not always around asking, well, what I get out the deal? Huh? Let me tell you something. When you truly serve the Lord as with his heart, with his standards, you will find that the last thing that you will feel you have a need for is money. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, you know, when we are servants of God, we know and understand we're not trying to lay up treasures down here. We are laying up our treasures in heaven where they cannot be corrupted, where they will not rust, where they cannot be stolen. You know, we have way too many servant leaders that say they love Jesus, but everything seems to be all about them. You know, it's almost like they have become the ministry. They want people to worship them instead of worshiping God. But I believe, my young ministers, I believe this. If you don't start off on the right foot, if your heart is not right, if you do not have the correct standards, and we're going to talk about your mindset next week. If your mindset and your heart set is not lined up with your spirit, hallelujah, you can step off the road real easily. And we do that, saints of God, by getting into our pride. You know, we have some ministers, they learn two scriptures. And they want somebody to call them pastor. For what? You're not doing the job of a pastor. You know? But you see, their heart isn't really turned. Those are people that you know and understand. Their heart isn't turned toward God. Because they're more important. They're more concerned about their accolades, their titles, than the work of the kingdom. And that's saving lost souls. That's being the hands and feet and the voice of Jesus himself, speaking words of healing, speaking words of love and encouragement, speaking words that will uplift rather than tear down, going the extra distance. I know we in COVID-19 right now, and you know, but let me explain something to some of you. I'm going to let you in on a secret. A lot of pastors, a lot of servant leaders were not going out to visit the sick, the shut-in, or the elderly before COVID-19. But if now, if you're really going to walk the walk like Jesus did, sometimes you got to go out your way like he did with the woman at the well. You got to go out of your way to bless somebody. You got to make the effort. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can just bless somebody with your presence, just the way you carry yourself. You know, remember the man that was up in the tree looking down at Jesus, hollering at Jesus? There was something about Jesus that he had. He did not lose his faith in that man, and he would not hush. He kept right on hollering. Well, there can be something about the way you walk that people were like, there's something magnetic. There's something illuminating. There's something resonating from that person. I wonder what's going on with them. Yes. No. We just have to know and understand that we don't want to serve God's people in any way that Jesus has not served us. See, if we do things the Jesus way, we can't go wrong. Why? Because when we're doing things the Jesus way, first and foremost, like I said last week, we're not relying on our own abilities. We're not relying on our own talents and gifts. No, we're relying on God's ability. And it's like I said, Apostle Zeta Flowers preached a message yesterday saying, you know, my confidence is in God. And I said, ain't that a beautiful thing? Because when our confidence is in God, it lets us off the hook. It lets us off the hook from worrying. It lets us off the hook from running around trying to make things happen. When we just trust God. And you don't have to prove who you are, young minister. If you've been called by God, those who truly know God and love God, you won't have to tell them nothing. They'll be able to see it. Matter of fact, they might call you out. Somebody might have called you out because they saw it. But my servants of God, you cannot serve God without having a heart after his own. You have to love as he loves. You have to serve as he serves. You might have to go out of your way. It might be uncomfortable. But whatever God's will is in that situation, you must be willing to go the distance. And yes, sometimes you have to deal with people and it seems like it's taking them forever to get that breakthrough. It might seem like it's taking forever for this person to pull down that stronghold. But you have to remember, it's not about your timing. It's about God's timing. And if he has called you to serve a certain individual, then he expects you to serve until that assignment is complete. You can't throw up your hands and say, oh, they're just never going to get it. That's not your call, nor is it your responsibility. Your responsibility is to bring that word of God, to live in that word, to walk in that word in a way that you are an honorable vessel, that you can be effective for the Most High God, and that when you speak with the authority and the conviction that God Almighty has given you. You are not speaking from your pride. You are not speaking from your gifts and talents. You are not all puffed up with your self-achievement. Rather, you are humble and you are meek, understanding that God, Almighty, of all his creations he could have chosen, look down here, he chose you and I. Now, I don't know. You might be all of that in a bag of chips. I didn't have it like that. I mean, I had a wonderful life, a wonderful childhood, a wonderful upbringing. But I was not born Holy Ghost Junior. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to do things the old-fashioned way. You know, go to Sunday school and Bible study and church and choir rehearsal and prayer meeting. Usher board meeting. Lord, my mama drugged me to every meeting the church had, I believe. But, you know, hey, I learned some things while I was there. Praise the Lord. So, servants of God, I just pray that you will continue as you look at your call and you look at whether this is really what God is calling you to do. You search your heart and you ask yourself, am I in this to serve or am I in this to be served? Am I in this to love and lead as God would love and lead? Or am I just looking for an easy way to make some money? Oh, yeah, I'm going to call you out on it. Am I looking to lead others to the kingdom of God? Or am I going to run a popularity contest? These are questions you really need to ask yourself. And if you don't know the answer, I would suggest you not move forward until you and the Holy Ghost do know the answer. Because I know the Holy Ghost knows the answer, so you better let him tell you what the answer is. Amen. So I'm going to stop here for tonight, and I'm going to give all of you an opportunity to make a comment, have your comments, or ask questions, because the last thing I want to do is confuse anybody. I don't want to, I want to make sure that I was clear. We do have family members from the Good Shepherd Church here, and we do have others of you are in here. So if you would like to have a word, please press your 1, and I will kindly address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you have a comment, a question, just want to praise God, press your 1. But in the meantime and in between time, we're going to start with Mother Matty Scott. Good evening, and God bless you, Mother Matty.
God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you and all the Spirit Alive family this evening. God bless you all. I was listening to the program. It's very good, very, very powerful, very powerful message that, you know, that you gave, and it's true. And a lot of pastors, they don't. They don't reach out to the elderly. They don't. They do not come to the sick. They don't. Some of you be in the hospital. They don't even come and see you. So you know, you're right. You tell the truth, and it's true. Some of them, that's all they care about is the money. You're right about that. It's the truth. And so I love it, Bishop Cook. You always speak the truth. Everybody on Spirit Alive speaks the truth. And some people don't want to hear the truth, but if the truth is truth is a light. Truth is
yes,
a light,
ma'am.
And the truth will set you free. And people need to know the truth. They really do. And then if it's not that, there's favoritism in the church. Some people give more money than others, and the ones that give more money, the pastor recognize them. The ones that can't give as much, they're not recognized. And that's
right.
Come on now. Mill U's and big eyes. It's not supposed to be that. But it's going on.
Right.
It's right on in the church. It's favoritism and cliques. It sure is. Right. You're so right.
Yes, ma'am.
You're
yes.
So right.
See, they need to get
you're
their
so
heart
right.
right. That's what they need to do.
So,
they need to get their heart right.
That's true.
Because,
that's true. You're so right.
Because if
and,
their
and,
heart
and,
was
and,
right. Yes, ma'am.
Bishop Cook, keep Evangelist Michelle Scott and Pastor Scott in prayer. Mrs. Givens and Deacon Bradley, keep them in prayer. And thank you for keeping me in prayer. I need prayer, too.
Yes, ma'am.
But I enjoyed what you said, because you sure spoke the truth. It sure is favoritism in the church. And it's not like to be, it's not supposed to be that like that. And there are churches that are divided. They are divided. It's really sad.
Yes,
really sad.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am, it is. But you know what? That's how come I said to the Lord, Lord, I can't undo how some of these pastors are or some of these apostles or whatever. I can't. My job, it's not my job, Lord, to correct them. Because if you haven't done it, it's most certainly not my job. But what I can do is for the ones that the Lord blesses me to teach, I can make sure that I teach them the Jesus way, so that when they go out there, I'm going to know that they are going to be honoring Jesus, not the pastor, not the pew, but Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Deacon Bradley, good evening, sir. Come on into the room.
Well, good evening, and to God be the glory, and I just feel so good as being a deacon, and if there ever been words spoke to the truth, you have. You have spoke the truth to the
Amen.
Word.
Hallelujah.
Now, I've been around the church practically all my life. My grandfather was a minister.
Yes,
he
sir.
Didn't get paid. I mean, a dozen of eggs, a chicken. Now, we're talking way back there. And he was most satisfied. Went to work a day. And he believed in the Holy St. John. He believed in the book, the Word of God.
Yes.
And that's the way
right
he
now.
Brought family up. He brought the family up as fearing God, knowing him, giving truth to the word, respect, obeying, and loving. Deacons, I'm talking about the deacons too, along with the ministers, see. If you don't know what this is all about, see, the one thing, God gave talents out.
Yes,
and today,
he did.
You must know your talent.
Your gift.
He didn't call a lot of preachers. He didn't call a lot of deacons to be deacons. But we put them in place.
Yes.
And we pray for them. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a two-way street here now. You can get hung up both ways. You can get hung up with the congregation, and the congregation can get hung up with the preacher. But you got to know the steps to take. Now, Sis Cook, I've been a deacon at my church, Good Shepherd, for many years.
Yes, sir.
Now, preachers came, and they would say, well, meet the deacon. And at one time, we had many deacons. In the end, we had hardly no deacons.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times, I took this load by myself as a deacon. Now, the first thing I done, every preacher that came in, I knew that he had heard things about my church and my church family.
Uh-huh.
So now I want you to get it from the horse's mouth.
There's
a ox right in front of the church. I would take him over there for at least 30 minutes to give him an outline.
Have a word.
Everything you heard is not true.
That's right.
Because people had told me that they go to have their breakfast on Monday morning at the cafe and talk about. And the main subject was Good Shepherd.
My Lord.
But
mm-hmm.
they don't know the inside. See, God was working on the inside while they were talking on the outside.
Yes,
those
amen.
Things that were not true and that they didn't come in the right spirit, in the right way, they left.
That's right.
They
come on now.
About, they talked about the church. God sent
That's
some
not
good
right.
there. And God
yeah.
sent preachers just didn't understand the role. So I'm
yeah.
so glad this evening. I'm so glad to be a witness for the Scott family.
Yes.
See, you got to watch well as pray. And don't think every deacon is just sitting over there sleeping.
Because he's not.
Got
no,
their eyes.
She's not.
Yeah, they
Amen.
Watching you.
Amen.
And,
Amen, Deacon.
When Reverend Scott came, I knew he was inexperienced, but he had love.
Yeah. There
he
you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Jesus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. You can do many things with
love.
Love
can do it.
Yeah, love
you know,
can do it. See? This is what Jesus
said. You done said a mouthful, Deacon.
Mm. Love me.
Mm.
And I'm going to just be patient.
Yes,
see, most people don't understand. When you come to church on Sunday morning, whatever you going to do, you go to the mercy seat. Prayer changes.
Yes, sir.
I
there,
come
yes,
by
sir,
this
that's
evening
right.
to tell you that prayer changes things.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I know
we
that's
might
right.
think running hard, and but you ain't praying right.
That's right. That's
come
right.
On,
and
Holy
you're not
Ghost,
praying
I
with love.
Keep,
and you're not praying with love. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, Deacon Bradley, you spoke to the heart of the matter because for me, being a servant leader means in my heart and my soul, I want everyone that God blesses to come along beside me on this journey, with me on this journey, to become
yes.
all that God wants them to become. I love them. And if Jesus can say, and you shall do greater things than I,
yes.
that's what I see and I believe for every servant leader that God blesses me to pour into. I see
yes.
greatness because
yes.
I love them. I
yes.
want them to be great because I
yes.
love them. I want them to know the right thing, way to do things because I
yes.
love them.
You shows it too, Bishop. You shows it.
Thank you, sir.
That's what
because
God
I love
loves.
Them.
You want them to,
the
want you to show it.
And we
got to
do that. And we got to
right.
appreciate. We got to, you know, instead of being intimidated.
And glorify your Father.
We
got to
stir it up.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. We've got to stir up the good gifts. We've
yes,
got
indeed.
To stir them up. We've got to encourage. We got to say, that's right, baby. You better run on for Jesus. And
yeah.
And while you at it, what can Pastor do to help you? Because, see,
that's
all
right.
I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be an evangelist, if you said God called me to be an evangelist, okay, baby, come on. I'm going to take you out here and we finna evangelize. I'm not going to mm-hmm. send you onto the battlefield. I'm going to lead you onto the battlefield.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
So when you go out there,
please.
I'm going to know
yeah.
that you know what you're doing. I'm not going to
yes.
send you out there ill-equipped.
Yeah.
I'm not going to send you out there unprepared.
Yeah.
I'm not going to send you out there having people sitting up in pulpits, twittering and whispering about you.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm the greatest.
You
don't
know
and
the
I
difference between
deliver.
An altar call.
Oh, it's under
you
the power and the Holy Spirit that you
That's right.
Yes.
You don't know. That's why Spirit Alive works. I appreciate the wonderful people that God sends here. I don't
yes.
mind showing my love. I'm not afraid to show my love. There's power in my love because I'm telling them I love you like this because Jesus loves me like this.
Yeah.
You're getting love the way you do because Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
The way
Thank
he
you.
Does.
Thank you.
And Hold all up. I can do to show my gratitude to him is to love on him, obey him, obey his holy word,
yeah.
love on you.
Yeah.
I want you to be all that you can be because that's what's in my heart.
Mm.
That's what's in my heart.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sometimes I have to sit up late and think about ways that I can bring out the best in some of our people because I know people that I'm working with. God shows me what I'm working with. So sometimes I have to create programs where people
mm-hmm.
can feel comfortable and more in their element.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I got to create different formats so people's
yes,
talents can be shown.
Yeah.
Okay? Because everything that we do can be used to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you young ministers to know tonight that you must have a heart like Jesus. And Jesus wants us to make it to the kingdom. Jesus wants to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So if you're going to be a servant leader like Christ, then that's your goal. That's your objective. That's your priority. That's your passion. That's your all and your all.
Yeah.
And when you have truly been called and sent and you know what, I can say this today and I say hallelujah. I know I have passed from life to death because I truly love my brethren. Yes. It feels good to be able to say that.
Yes, Lord.
So thanks to God, I want you to just keep on trusting God. Let him lead you. Let him speak directly to your heart. Let him pour in that love that is needed. You know, some of us aren't huggy, touchy, feely, affectionate people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The Lord will use you in your personality.
Yeah.
Don't try to be somebody else.
Just
let God
right.
help you do you.
Yes.
Because, see, that's where your power lies.
Yeah.
In being who God created you to be.
To be.
So, hallelujah. I want to say glory to God. I want to thank you all for listening. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook, our ministerial training, Leadership the Jesus Way. And tonight we were talking about having the heart of Christ. Hallelujah. We pray that you will continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. We want to thank our very wonderful guest tonight, Deacon Bradley and Mother Mattie Scott. I just want to send out love to the ministers, Minister Tina, Evangelist Michelle. God bless you. I love you both very much. So we just pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. And from our family to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Wonderful program. Thank you, Deacon Bradley. Thank you,
Thank
Mother
you.
Mattie. I love you both. Thank you, Evangelist Minister Michelle. I mean, Minister Tina, I love you guys. God bless you, sweetheart.
Love
Good
you.
Night.
Bye-bye. Love you. We love you. Bless you all. Amen.